Not Quite Nice. Written and read by Celia Imrie.
To my pals who brought me here to Nice, and to the city whose beauty saved and inspired me. Part 1. Escape. Chapter 1. The small town of Bellevue-sur-Mer sparkled like a diamond on the French Mediterranean coast. Sprawling down from the foothills of the Alpes Maritimes to the beach, the town consisted of stately cream-coloured villas and old ochre houses with yellow, pink and lime-green shutters, hunched up, gazing out to sea. Dark alleys and bright pathways zigzagged vertiginously between pastel-painted walls, and the one main road took a series of terrifying hairpin bends in its descent from the corniches to the bustling cul-de-sac which bordered the harbour, with its railway station, souvenir shops, brasseries, hotels and a small but popular casino. Everywhere you looked, the colours were almost startling in their intensity, vivid purples, pinks and reds of bougainvillea, and oleander bushes crowded under the green boughs of umbrella pines, orange trees and palms, and all set against the turquoise and ultramarine background, which was the sea and sky. Understandably, Bellevue-sur-Mer had, like most places on the Côte d'Azur, seen more than its fair share of artistic and literary visitors. You couldn't walk 500 yards without passing a building which had been associated with Rudyard Kipling, Robert Louis Stevenson, H.G. Wells, Somerset Maugham, Jules Verne, Maupassant, Stendhal, Nietzsche, Chekhov, or F. Scott Fitzgerald. In art galleries all over the world, you could see vivid paintings of its streets and sea views, executed by the likes of Renoir, Cézanne, Picasso, Matisse, Cocteau, Chagall and Dufy. Nowadays, rock icons and Hollywood movie stars lurked behind the virgin walls of impressive villas perched in the rocks above the old town, while many of the more garish seafront mansions along the bay belonged to magnates of world industry or Russian oligarchs. As in most of the beauty spots on Earth, there were, dotted among the native inhabitants, a gaggle of Brits, people who, for one reason or another, kept a second home here, or, in many cases, particularly of the older generation, had chosen to move lock, stock and barrel to this magnificent village to retire in the sun. All of them, more or less, knew one another, if only by sight. They had their own local English newspaper and even a radio station which broadcast English-speaking programmes from nearby Monaco. This morning, Teresa Simmons would be joining them. She walked briskly along the seafront, gripping the keys to her new apartment. She stopped for a while by the harbour wall to take in the beautiful view, the glass-like sea, shining silver in the late January midday light. The little fishing boats, tethered to the quay, bobbing and clanking, the sky dappled at the edges with pink haze, but at its zenith, as blue as a kingfisher. She knew she'd done the right thing. How lucky that she'd taken the plunge and chosen to come here. The flight and train ride might have taken less than 3 hours, but Teresa's journey had taken 6 long months. The whole business of her transplant from Highgate to Bellevue-sur-Mer started one night in July, a night of babysitting her 3 granddaughters. She always babysat twice a week, but this one nasty night came after a horrible day, during which, quite against her will, she was forced into retirement. Until that day, Teresa had hoped to go on working as long as she could and planned to carry on living in the house in which she'd been living for the last 35 years. Although she was coming up to her 60th birthday, Teresa was not expecting her boss, Mr. Jacobs, to give her the heave-ho. But as she put on her coat, ready to leave for her daughter's Wimbledon home, he had taken her aside and apologised, saying that in a few months he would be letting her go.